All right. Good morning. Good morning. Before we start, I'd like to just send a shout out to John Dornbos. Everything went well yesterday with surgery, and he's resting comfortably. And just wish him and his family well, and our prayers are with him, and hope for a speedy recovery.
What's the latest with Ronald Darby?
Ronald Darby. Actually, still waiting on some more information. Quite honestly, I know that's a statement that I keep saying over and over, but really, we're waiting on some more information. He's week to week right now.
Doug, when you coached Alex Smith and worked with him in Kansas City, how much did working with him kind of inform your thinking about what kind of quarterback you would want if and when you became a head coach? Like when you had the opportunity to move up and get Carson, would you say to yourself, okay, well, I worked with Alex, I like this, I didn't like that? You know, how did it kind of shape your
thinking? Yeah, that's a great question. It did shape a little bit of the thinking. Having worked here before, with Kevin Cobb and Donovan, Michael Vick, and then having the chance to go to Kansas City with Alex Smith. Of course, we had Chase Daniel there, saw Tyler Bray, but getting back to Alex, very cerebral guy, he's a deep thinker. He studies, he prepares, very athletic. Probably more athletic than people give him credit for. Runs extremely well, tough, very smart, doesn't turn the ball over. Everything you want from a quarterback. And so, when looking at quarterback, yeah, you'd love to have all those traits and characteristics in a quarterback. Does it always happen that way? No. But at the same time, we were fortunate to make the moves we did to get Carson, again, very athletic, smart, studies, cerebral, deep thinker, all those things that Carson is what I coach in Kansas City with Alex.
In regards to Darby, does he need more testing? Is that why you guys are waiting? Or
it's no more testing, just waiting on some results.
Okay. Yeah.
How about with Jason Peters? Is he going to practice today?
Jason Peters is fine. He'll practice today, yes.
Why did you decide to have captains?
Why? Did you read the article on the Internet the other day? I explained it.
Yeah,
I explained it in that article. Yeah. I mean, listen, I think it's the ownership's on the team. Where?
Who wrote the story?
Dave Spadaro. Right there. Dave Spadaro. Came out, I think, on Saturday. Thank you. Let me get back to the topic here. Why did I do permanent captains? One, I've been speaking on this topic with the team of ownership, and I just wanted to put the onus back on the players. I felt like going into year two that giving them the responsibility, voted on by the team. It wasn't my decision whatsoever to elect these guys. The team elected these guys. And they all, when you read their comments, they're all very honored to be able to represent the team the entire season. And then obviously the sixth captain I'll rotate on a weekly basis, and we'll have six every week.
Doug, you worked quite closely with Matt Nagy, both in Kansas City when you were the offense coordinator there, and also when he was first starting out here with the Eagles under Andy. What did you see in him, and where do you see his potential?
Yeah, Matt is another one of those, a strategic thinker. He's smart. He started here as a coaching assistant with us, and when we all went to Kansas City, promoted to the quarterback coach position, and he's another one that gets in there and loves to grind on the film and crank, and good teacher. I think being around and being on an Andy Reid staff, you learn how to teach, and that's something that he had the ability to do those first couple of years. When I was a coordinator, he was a quarterback coach, and really grew in the offense. Even when Alex came, being able to think on that level and help put game plans together. Has promoted him now, obviously, as the co-offensive coordinator, and he's done an outstanding job. He's done a really good job there, and you can see it obviously in the play of the quarterbacks.
Some of his coaching material.
I do. I think he's one of those guys, young coaches if you're in Andy Reid's system like players, you're going to have opportunities and. We don't know obviously when the opportunity comes, but at the same time, I think he will be very capable of being in a position to possibly interview for a job down the road.
Andy, with the injuries against his former assistants, Why do you think that is, number one?
Start that again?
I said Andy's 8-3 against his former assistants. Why do you think that is, and what kind of edge do you think that you have having coached underneath him and played for him?
Yeah, it's obviously it's a tough task. His teams are always, well prepared. They're a disciplined group. You see that very, very consistent in how they go about their preparation during the week. And it just comes down to the preparation and hard work for them, and that's what he's done in his past. And I think sometimes in my position, I don't want to put any added stress or pressure on myself to go perform. I gotta, continue to study the tape and plan accordingly, and then put our team in positions again, just like last week. It's that chess match and moving our pieces against their pieces. And for me, I just can't get caught up in that record. I can't get caught up on who's on the other sideline, things of that nature. I just got to focus on my job and getting our team ready to play.
Why do you think he's so good with extra time to prepare? Because, I mean, they have extra 3 days this week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a guy that spends the time. If you want to be successful in this business, you have to spend time. You have to spend time watching tape. You got to spend time with your players. There's no shortcut around that, and that's what he does. And those are the things that he instilled in me watching him. If you want things done right, then you have to spend the time and put in that extra time to be that discipline.
Along those lines, Jim Schwartz said yesterday that when we asked him about the Kansas City offense, that he'd been practicing against it all through training camp. To what extent is that true? You've seen their game against New England. They use mm-hmm. some spread concepts and mm-hmm. things. Are your offenses very, very similar?
Similar, probably by formation. Some of the same personnel. You see the same three tight end groupings. A lot of 11 personnel both sides. Obviously, with Tyreek Hill and De'Anthony Thomas on offense, the two explosive guys that they have that he moves around by game plan, by design. So, yeah, I think our defense has got a little bit of a head start on it just because of what we have presented through OTAs and training camp. So there's some familiarity there, but at the same time, we're doing things a little differently schematically than they are, so it just comes down to the study.
Doug, as you have grown into the job, what ways have you and what areas have you adhered to Andy's coaching style, and in what ways have you kind of splintered off?
Well, I think just, around the team, you got to set standards for the team. You got to set rules. There's regulations around the building, in the community, even the way we practice sometimes, I spent 14 years as a player too. So I've seen how players react to certain things. And so if I differ, I'll differ, in a certain area here and there, but for the most part, just, the discipline part of the football team, the structure, you gotta be black and white with players and coaches. You can't leave it open for gray at all. And that's something that I think that Andy does a tremendous job with his coaching staff, with the front office, with the players. Is there is no gray, and those are the things that, as a head coach, you can't let slip, you can't let slide. So I'm very detailed that way with the coaches and the players, and making sure that they adhere to those guidelines, and then just go from there. But that's kind of the way. Because like I said, I've been around him for 7 years as a coach and obviously as a player. So it goes back. It's not just him. It goes all the way back to my days in Green Bay with Mike Holmgren. A lot of the same structure is still in place today.
Specifically in regards to Andy's play calling, what did you learn from him in that?
Well, yeah, and the thing with Coach Reed, I mean, he's going to obviously exhaust the tape and study the tape, and, he prides himself on tendencies and personnel groupings and he prepares and studies that way. Early in games, being able to keep defenses off balance, moving guys around, particularly at home where they have the crowd in their favor. Schematically, just understanding the down and distance and what he likes to call in certain situations has helped me as a play caller, and obviously has helped the Chiefs tremendously in their success.
Are you still scripting the first series, the first 20 plays like Andy used to do?
Yeah, and it's not a necessarily just 15 straight plays. Obviously, it's, you know, it's more than that, but it's more the idea of what I expect or what we expect on first and second down, and I know Coach Reed does the same thing. And listen, you can get off script as early as play two, you know, really as early as play one, if you have a muffed kickoff return and you're at the minus 1 yard line. So things can change, you know, drastically. But yeah, Sam, I do that.
You have a new kicker right now, Jake Elliott. Why'd you go with him? And are you concerned that, you know, out of those three specialist spots right now, two of them didn't have the job a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, you know, it's the next man mentality, obviously, and we brought him in here. He's very accurate. He's got a strong leg, obviously, young, but at the same time, you know, we're moving forward, and we'll get him ready to play. And looking forward to getting him out there today in practice and watching him perform.
What kind of parallels do you see between Rasul Douglas this year compared to, you know, maybe Jalen Mills last year? Now it looks like Rasul might get some action.
I think the biggest thing with Rasul is the fact that he's been able to kind of watch. He's been able to kind of see it from a distance, where Jalen was kind of thrust into the action right away and was kind of learning on the fly, you know. And Jalen obviously has done an outstanding job to be in the position that he's in. And Rasul now is one that, you know, as this week goes, we'll just see where he's at. But I think just sitting back and watching from afar has really helped him grow as a corner.
When you've got two systems like yours and Andy's, and the two organizations that know each other fairly well or feel they do, is there a balance you want between doing things counterintuitively, in other words, doing things they might not expect, between doing that and putting your guys out of their comfort zone of what they've been working on?
Yeah, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to kind of – you want to go out of the box a little bit, you know, and present a few different things. I mean, that's – I know he's going to do the same thing, you know, with that offense and try to present some things out of the box that way. But, you know, at the end of the day, we understand we're going into a hostile environment. It's very loud. We want to make sure that we're doing right and not reinventing the wheel. We want to stick to our game plan, stick to the plays that have got us to where we are, the success that we've had. And listen, just trying to maximize our personnel on the field and making sure that we're doing that right, because I've been around long enough to know that if you start changing things up, you know, it's hard on the players on you know, 3 days of work really and a walkthrough on Saturday. And the other thing too is if coaches don't know what you're teaching, if it's a new concept, it's hard to teach the players. So there'll be a couple of things, but at the same time, it's just it's our offense, their offense, and defense, and then we go play.
When Andy took the Kansas City job, Doug, he said he just wanted to get back to coaching football. Brad Childress said he's a lot more hands-on with regard to game prep and stuff like that, the stuff, you know, that he enjoyed in the beginning. I mean, when you were there, did you sense that he's a lot happy? I mean, the things he's a lot happier with the situation there as far as how he's approaching it than maybe the latter years here?
Yeah, you know, and he's always been one, you know, obviously a former teacher, and his family and the whole, you know, history of his childhood and how he was raised and everything and the education in his family. He loves to teach. I mean, he loves to teach, and he loves getting in there with the players. And that was the thing when he offered me the offensive coordinator's position, he made it black and white that I'm going to be in front. I'm going to be the one installing plays again. And he goes, that's what I love to do. I love teaching football. And that was the first thing, you know. And listen, he puts as much time in the presentation of the game plan as he does studying the film, you know, and everything else that goes with it. And that's just a tribute to him over the years, understanding that. And he loves doing it. I mean, he's so excited when he's up there talking. He's full lather sweat, and he carries his towel, and he's into it. And it's just exciting to see him do it. Thanks, guys.